Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 12th of February, recording at 8 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. It's an hour before the close, but there's plenty to talk about here today. Now, first, though, a little apology for yesterday when I was talking about Japan's gains. They had occurred on Friday, and yesterday the market was closed for the Foundation Day. Lots of holidays taking place in Asia, including China, off all this week. But what else has been going on? Japan, helped by a weaker yen, had good solid gains in here today, up nearly 2%. That was the main story in Asia, and most of the other markets that are open were a little bit firmer. I think Korea was an exception to that. It's drifted partly on concern over the weakening Japanese yen, because Korea and Japan are, of course, major trade rivals. Now, elsewhere, we've seen pretty solid gains here today in the European region. And this includes the UK, which is up nearly 1% today. And I see Spain up 1.93%. That's one of the bigger gains. France up 1%. So is the Euro Stoxx index. So good action here overall. And the US is showing modest gains. The Nasdaq's down a little bit as I speak, but it's barely changed, I should say. The S&P's currently up about 3.5 points. That's at 1520. And what's actually happened here is that a number of these indices are edging up out of their overall ranges. Now, I've done a bit of a chart review today, and I've put up 10-year charts for a number of these bigger indices, and you can you're familiar with those patterns, I think, by and large. But I've also put up some mid-cap indices, and they're really quite interesting. For instance, the mid for the U.S. Is the code is MID in the library, and that's everything below what's in the FTSE 100 in terms of size. So they're still substantial companies, but smaller than the ones in the in the S&P 500. And this is absolutely surged up. It's well above its range highs for the last few years. Remember, those date back to 2010. It's also above its 2007 highs overall. And the same thing applies to the FTSE. It's mid-cap. It's the MCX. Is the code for that. So you'll see them in my write-up here today. And that's also pushed to new all-time high ground. So a point I'm trying to make here is that some of the technical developments that we've seen here since mid-November, really, but coming on very strongly, of course, again in January. And in this month, we've seen more of a two-way street here, with up one day and down the next. But the bias, nevertheless, remains really quite firm. And that reflects this big improvement in overall sentiment that we've been talking about, where Europe was regarded as a catastrophe, and actually it's doing quite well here right now, relative to what people were expecting, at least. China, ditto, getting that stimulus, avoiding the hard landing. Japan, this is really quite exciting in terms of seeing what Shinzo Abe, the new prime minister, is achieving, trying to break Japan out of its disinflation, deflationary cycle that's really gripped the market for decades here. So there's a lot of good news to look at. Oh, we know there are problems out there. We know about all the government debt in the West. And we also know that a lot of these markets are strong with the help of this unprecedented, at least since the end of World War II, quantitative easing that's taking place. Let's treat it like it is, like what it is. It's a bull market that's been strong, overextended in the short term. I expect choppy activity here for the most part, but I remain hopeful that we're not going to see another one of those white knuckle frightening declines that we have seen following other overbought conditions in recent years. So not a bad outlook here overall. Now moving on, government bonds. I don't like this sector. They may just mess around and continue ranging overall, but there certainly is some profit erosion among all those people who've piled into these long-dated government bonds, and I think they're dangerous, and I think that as long as the script that we're going to see for the United States is not a version of what's happened to Japan over the last 20 years, but is more likely to be a recovery. That's what we're expecting at Fuller Money. And that leaves scope for an upward adjustment in those yields. I think during not only this year but beyond, which will possibly involve a fair amount of profit erosion overall, and not to avoid the label, these are bubbles. These long-dated government bond markets in the U.S. and the U.K. So I'd be careful there, as I've said before, and that doesn't mean that they're going to collapse overnight, but it's that stealth profit erosion that's the main risk, in my opinion. Now, moving on to commodities, this is really quite interesting here today, and we're getting a lot of two-way activity, one day up, one day down, but today we've seen all metals firmer here, and that's led by the industrial metals, but we've got solid gains for, let's take palladium. That's currently at 771 and change, very firm. And then platinum, which had that break above the $1,700 level and then dipped back below it briefly, but strong, up $22 in here today to $17.18.50. Now, gold, which has been very much out of favor here overall, and gold dipped down here today, bullion to $1,639.45, but then it did turn around and rallied back up. It's only up slightly, up $2.90 at $1,650.85. It is oversold. Now, silver dipped down to $30.58, but is currently at $31.08, and that's up 17 on the day here. I mean, the premise here is that palladium broke upwards out of its range to be a leader. Platinum is attempting to follow that and looks like it's going to extend moves to the upside. Gold and silver are lagging. People hold more of those. They have been underperforming really since August and September of 2011, and so people are concerned about the loss of any yield. So it's not that surprising to see some drift away, but there hasn't been too much of that overall. And have a look at the chart of the ETF for gold total. That shows the total holdings of all known gold ETFs And that's still in a clear overall upward trend, although it's leveled out and dipped a fraction recently, but it's comfortably above its 200-day moving average currently. And I'll give it the benefit of the doubt here for a little longer, as I say. If we haven't seen gold show some clear upward dynamics, some real strength between now and the end of June, then I'll be more concerned, although I don't think that means that it necessarily goes into a bear market. I don't think that happens until we get a sharp rise in interest rates overall, which will, of course, happen at some point in the future. But what I'm trying to say here is that I think we've still got scope for another shot to the upside here in the gold price, but it needs to show some fairly hefty gains fairly soon to provide confirming evidence for my forecast. Now, elsewhere in commodities, oil remains a concern, and the price is firm. Overall, again in here today, it's up near the upper side of its range for the last several months, and the main reason for this, in our opinion, is because Saudi Arabia, the big oil exporter, produced the Saudis only produced 9.025 million barrels a day in December, and that was down from 9.49 million barrels a day in November, and we also had over 1 million barrels, or 1 million barrels a day lower than the 30-year high, which was at 10.1 million barrels a day. So the Saudis have basically chopped almost 1 million barrels a day off production since June, and so that's tightened supplies. And I hope they don't cut any further in here, because crude oil would a rising price of crude oil would be bad for the global economy, of course, and jeopardize the equity bull trend that we're in right now. Now, elsewhere in those grains, some good news in terms of commodity price inflation in terms of foodstuffs. Now, rough rice, which had concerned us and had a spike to the upside, was it last week? Well, it's fallen back in here, and it needs to go a little lower to confirm that was an important peak, but it looks like it. And the corn and soybeans and wheat have, among these staple grains, have given up a little more ground, so that's not causing any problems at the moment. And what else to mention here today? I think there's interest certainly in the currency markets. We've got mostly ranging with a slightly easier trend in a number of the Asian currencies ever since the Japanese started their move to weaken the yen to pull their economy out of that deflationary cycle. But the big story here overall is, the big story is the Japanese yen. And it's backed a little bit off the highs that we'd reached. It was up at I'll put it in U.S. dollar terms. The dollar was up to 94.32 yen earlier today. It's down to 93.56, and there was a G7 communique on this, just saying that Japan was not engaged in a competitive devaluation, and that's a little bit of political lobbying ahead of the G20 meeting in 3 days' time. I don't think the West wants to see too much pressure on Japan overall. They'd like to see a reviving Japanese economy, which I think they're going to get as a counterweight to China within the Asian region, and also it's just be good for the global economy to have the world's third largest economy back in some sort of decent form. I think it'll happen. And on that note, all the best to all of you.